Well, hello all, and welcome to the Outliers podcast with John
and TJ.
Once again, hello. We were going to have Jose, but he appears to be missing in action, so it'll just be us two. All right, let's get down to business. What we did is we read the book Outliers by Malcolm Gladwell for our final reading. In it, Gladwell delves into the factors that contribute to high levels of success. Gladwell discussed issues such as the month of birth and the impact it has on success of hockey players in respective age groups and the amount of time it takes to become a true expert. He said it was 10,000 hours, and he also discussed social skills.
And TJ here, and it should be noted for that many ones of his theories and assertions were actually debunked. For example, his 10,000 hour rule, which you mentioned, has actually been thoroughly disproven. In light of this, I think we should focus on whether or not his ideas given in the book actually hold any merit.
John, he was criticized for having largely made up that number, the 10,000 hours. It was described as something he just chose to be pretty. The 10,000 hours, it's like a nice round number. It is thought that there's a minimum number of hours of practice required to be successful, but the number's not known, and it's usually varying based upon who the individual is. The scientist that he cited for the 10,000 hour rule was Anders Ericsson, who wrote a response to the book in which he stated that his study couldn't be used to make that conclusion. Ericsson said that the only real conclusion that could have been made from the study is that there is some random amount of time, well, not random, but not definite, amount of time required to spend practicing a skill, and the amount differs based upon who the person practicing is and what the skill is, and then the skill would become second nature, and there would be no benefit to continuing practice because the person has reached a level of quote-unquote mastery.
Yeah. He also stated that any parents that are going to be successful in that lot of money is needed in order to succeed. And in this theory, this theory would be easily debunked, as many athletes, for example, Cristiano Ronaldo or Lionel Messi, have come from very poor backgrounds and have had to work to support their families, but at the end of the day, it's still being very successful in their fields.
An actual quote to go with that, that actually supports his statement, is in the book, Gladwell says, "It is those who are successful, in other words, who are most likely to be able to give given special kinds of opportunities that lead to further successes. It's the rich who get the biggest tax breaks. It's the best students who get the best teaching and most attention, and it's the biggest 9 and 10-year-olds who get the most coaching and practice. Success is the result of what sociologists like to call accumulative advantage. For example, he pointed out opportunities that Bill Joy and Bill Gates had, including colleges with computer access and being born at a time where there wasn't yet the massive computer market. They were at the beginning of it."
But I fundamentally disagree with this. Even if he was raised in a scummy slum or a really low-income household, even if he had the middle provisional means to make his way to college, the stuff on that same level would still be available to him, he wouldn't be completely better off, and just would have been much harder. But still would have been possible.
But less likely. He also said the only reason that Bill Gates became a billionaire is that at a young age he had access to computers, but now many people who don't have such access to things are able to come out of the slums and make really good money. There are still plentiful amounts of opportunity, regardless of ability, but it does have somewhat of an effect. Dr. Terman actually described a few of his students, the termites, as failures, in his opinion. Well, I believe that's all the time we have. Thanks, TJ. All right, bye.